This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
And welcome to the Vedic Wisdom. Thanks for being with us today. I'd like to talk to you about a holiday. Everybody says, I need a holiday. I want to go on holiday. And they take time off of their routine and proceed to go about what they think will be enjoyment. And everybody has their own interpretation because we're all individuals uniquely. And so this person or that person, they go off into their interpretation of holiday. Rest, relaxation, enjoyment, change of scene. Because what are they actually looking for? They're looking for relief from the anxiety that's inherent in their daily life. Now, you know, basically, people don't have a bad life, but there's always these niggly things, and it gets repetitious, and you get sick of certain people or certain activities, and so you feel like, I need a holiday. Well, what is actually going on is our lives consist of the karmic reactions of our previous activities. We've discussed before on our program that karma is the reaction for your actions. Do good, get good. Do bad, get bad. So on a spiritual platform, transmigrational platform, your last life's activities constitute the basis for this life's experiences. And you work within that, let's say, boundaries. So what you're experiencing is a reflection of what you deserve. And yet in it, because this material world has a component of suffering, is you're experiencing both the positive and the negative side of your life's activities simultaneously. And you come to a point after a period of time, you know, end of the year or whatever it might be, once a year, and I want a holiday. Now, what you're actually saying is, I want relief from my previous karma. And you're trying to do it in such a way that you're kind of blotting out the negative and trying to amplify the positive, such that you feel relief and refreshed. But what happens? Someone decides to go boating and somebody gets hurt. Somebody drowns. It happens every year. They have statistics on this stuff. Someone decides to travel quite some distance to see relatives, and there's car accidents. Someone is hurt. Someone may die. You go over to a friend's place, and he's decided to build a carport into a garage, and you pitch in and help, and you hurt yourself. Or something breaks and falls on somebody. So what's happening is, you're not getting a holiday from your karma. You're getting a different environment for activities to earn good or bad karma for the future. But you're still responsible for the karma you've earned from the past. And going on holiday does not change a thing. You still get your karma wherever you go. There are people that leave the Northern Hemisphere and move to the Southern Hemisphere. There are people that move from the Southern Hemisphere to the Northern Hemisphere. And they still get their karma. It goes with them. That's interesting. How does that work? Well, your karma is rewarded to you by the witness in the heart. The witness in your heart is the Lord in his super soul expansion, where he sees and understands the intent with which you do things, which is the determining factor of good or bad. Why did you do this? And so he's with you all the time, so you get the results of your karma wherever you go. Because wherever you go, the Lord is with you, and he's awarding you and allowing nature to deliver you your karma, fair, equal, and opposite, back on you for everything you do, good and bad. So there is no leaving your karma in the northern hemisphere when you go to the southern, nor leaving your karma at work when you go on holiday. Your karma goes with you wherever you go. So from that point of view, there is no such thing as a karma holiday or holiday. It's just a change of activities and environment. And this is what we hear that phrase. A change is as good as a rest. Because actually you are just changing the circumstances under which you're living. And the change feels good compared to the repetition that many of our lives have turned into. So the intelligent person, he goes, well, wait a minute here. If I'm going to get my karma wherever I go, whatever I do, what is the best thing to do to actually stop the karma? Now, you may understand that you can make karma better by being a better person, and you can make karma worse by being a right bummer. You can be a right badass and go on and treat people poorly by your free will and cause all sorts of negative reactions to come back on you. Do good, get good. Do bad, get bad. So there's that basic platform. That is actually called a karma yogi. That he is working on his development of his consciousness and his life's experience on that platform of karmic reaction. If I do more good things will happen to me. And if I do more bad things will happen to me. Now, I always have to interject here that karma is two accounts. You cannot erase a good act with a bad one, nor erase a bad act with a good one. Now, there is the concept, people say, well, I've done some horrible things in my life, and I'm trying to do good now. Great, but you're still responsible for the horrible things you've done. And that's part of what this material balance of nature, the yang and yin, if you will, of life. When you do something bad, you're supposed to feel guilty. You're supposed to correct your behavior such that you don't continue to cause yourself negative results. So the suffering in this material world is to wake you up to the fact that you have done things that aren't really on the up and up before. And you should try to improve your behavior and your understanding. And that reaps a better karma, that reaps a better life with less suffering and less anxiety, better facilities, better opulences. But in the Vedic literature, we're concerned with something much higher than that, and actually more difficult to achieve. And that is, we're concerned with how to stop the karma altogether. Because, as I've said before, if you have a lifetime full of good activities, you get a wonderful life. You have a lifetime full of bad activities, you have a horrible life. And you have a mix, you have a mixed life. But either good or bad, you're still earning the result. And to get the result, you have to take another birth. So the intelligent person, he's going, well, how do I stop the next birth? That's real intelligence. That postulating that question is actually an intelligent person. The Vedic literature says this is the beginning of spiritual life. How did I get here? Where do I go? How do I stop the cycle of birth and death and put an end to the anxiety and suffering that everyone experiences in this world? So this is the platform that the Vedic literature says one must accept a spiritual master and surrender unto him and render some service to him and inquire from him, how do I solve this perplexing question? Then one steps to the transcendental platform. By that turning point, it's a turning point in every individual's life. It's a change in every individual's sojourn, karmic sojourn, yang and yin sojourn, wheel of samsara, cycle of birth and death. That is the corner. That is the fork in the road. You can go back into fulfilling your desires, or you can go follow the instructions of the spiritual master. That's the deciding issue right there. Now, generally speaking, human society is supposed to be so organized that point comes to everyone's conscious consideration in the human form of life. Everyone. It doesn't matter if you're an illiterate sweeper in the street. It doesn't matter if you're the head of the World Bank. Everyone in the human form of life is supposed to come to that fork in the road and look at that question and make a decision of what they're going to do with their free will. Now, the Vedic literature says that if this human society is trained correctly and they understand that is an issue they have to come to, when they come awake enough to say, why am I here? What is my responsibility? How did I get here? How do I get to a place, the spiritual world, which is free of the anxieties and suffering? How do I stop the cycle of birth and death? What is my real duty? Why do I feel I'm eternal, but I see that I'm forced into birth and death? These are the questions that are praised by the Vedic literature. All right, now you've come awake. Now you're asking the right questions. Now you need a spiritual master. And as we said, when you approach the spiritual master in a humble state of mind, not challenging, he's inclined to give you wisdom. He's inclined to answer the question and guide you, point the way forward, just help you to understand which path to take. So in the Vedic literature, the spiritual master is described as the most confidential servant of the Lord. He's described as the transparent via media. That's an interesting term, isn't it? And that's done because he is transmitting the Lord's instructions to you and I as living entities for achieving our perfection, and he's doing it transparently, without adulteration, without self-interest. So one must approach a person of that confidential position humbly. You don't challenge that kind of a person. If the Lord is taking him into his confidential circle and has asked him to deliver such significant and confidential information to you or me or many others, one has to recognize that he has to be quite evolved and advanced in his spiritual understanding for the Lord to put his confidence in the spiritual master that the message will be delivered purely and that you or I will receive the message clearly, without adulteration. Because an adulterated message won't give us the answer. Just like if we make an error in mathematics, 2 + 2 = 4, but we write 5, it doesn't go well. Similarly, the spiritual master is sure, he takes pains to see to it that you get this confidential information coming to you how to stop the cycle of birth and death without adulteration. Because you wouldn't get free if you didn't take the correct method. So he's, again, a confidential servant. And so we approach him humbly. And we request him, sir, I have this question. I need a definitive answer. I need an actual solution to this problem that's bothering my mind. Can you answer this question for me and guide me so that I end up achieving the result of my life I'm determined and I'm focused on? Now, if one approaches in that state of mind, when the spiritual master responds, he can hear the answer and get the correct perspective. If he challenges the spiritual master, come on, prove to me you know what's going on. Come on, tell me the answer. I'll decide whether it's right or wrong or not, but you just tell me. The spiritual master may or may not answer because he's being challenged, but the individual may or may not understand. So this ends up the improper method. This is the improper way to get the answers from the spiritual master. The humble mentality that pleases the Supreme Lord, pleases the spiritual master. So the spiritual master will help you to realize the results of the right side of the decision and the results of the wrong side of the decision. On the wrong side of the decision, we understand clearly that if you stay in the cycle of birth and death, you may stay in the human form of life, or you may fall to the lower species of life and have to earn your way back. You may advance yourself to a higher human form, maybe a demigod higher form, but you still have to stay in the material world a very long time. Because from the Vedic literature, we learned that there is a complete variety of relativities in time. It's described that on some of the higher planetary systems in our universe, 1 minute is a year here. Some planets, one of their days is 6 months here. And you think of the ant. The ant also lives 100 years. But his relativity, he is so small, and the distances he covers is so small, his 100 years is very short to us. So these relativities of time are all over the material universe, up and down, right here in front of us. The distortion of time is there in the insect, plants, beasts, fish, etc. I met a man, and I was in London once, I met a man who had worked for the underwater pipelines. He had been an underground worker, laborer, welder, fitter, and they were putting a pipe, cable and pipe under the sea. And he said that he would go and work an 8-hour shift in diving gear with artificial breathing and work underwater for the 8-hour shift. And he said it felt like about 2 hours. That just being in the water, time was distorted. So all throughout this universe, time of life is distorted. So we have to be very cautious. If we say, well, I'll just stick around for another birth, well, that could be a very, very long time. Or it could be about a couple of minutes. But you're not in control. You're back into the cycle of birth and death where you pious and impious activities dictate the course of your life. And in the Vedic literature, they say, why would you risk that? If you've come to this human form and you've come to asking these significant confidential questions, you wanted the actual answer. So you don't risk that bouncing through the species, various species of life. So you approach the spiritual master and he'll tell you, this is how you can get free from the cycle of birth and death in the remainder of this very life. Now, when you stop and think of that, you go, now that is a prize. If there is such a spiritual being, a realized soul, a great soul, who knows the method of liberating yourself from the cycle of birth and death so well that he can say to you, you can accomplish it in the remainder of your human life. What kind of respect does that person deserve? The highest respect. Because he's delivering the highest information and solution. So if you understand that, you're ready for the answer. You're ready to become spiritually awakened. You're ready to make a sincere endeavor on the path the spiritual master lays before you in his answer. So you see, the spiritual master can understand your preparedness by the mood you bring to inquire from him. So the Vedic literature says, generally speaking, those that have come to that level where they're ready, they are humble, and they approach the spiritual master with respect, and they ask intelligent questions, and they listen attentively, and they employ the answers, the methods delivered by the spiritual master as the transparent media from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they become successful. Because the method is proven. It's coming from the topmost source, the Supreme Lord, and it's being delivered without adulteration. So its effectiveness is guaranteed. And so the inquirer knows if I follow this program, I will be successful and put an end to the cycle of birth and death. Now that is a holiday. That is free from the karmic cycle, the karma holiday you're looking for every year, 3 to 4 weeks off from work. That's what you're looking for. And you won't find it at the beach, at the car racetrack, at friends and family's house, hiking the mountain, whatever your options might be. But you can find it at the feet of a spiritual master. Now, the spiritual master's, benevolence comes in the form of giving you the tool that's used, prescribed for the cleansing method and the purification method that you require to get free from your attachments and to become confident of the path and to engage in the activities that are described for the path. Now, we've covered before in our program that one has to come out of selfishness and become selfless and move the object of his selfless devotion or selfless service from family, friends, things, predicament, job, country, etc., over to the Supreme Lord. Devotion and service and surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead breeds perfection. It provides this liberated state. So devotional service is described in the Vedic literature as the topmost methodology of advancing your consciousness and putting an end to the cycle of birth and death. Now, devotional service comes in 9 processes that are prescribed by the spiritual master as the learning methods for you to understand the techniques. And the consciousness is changed by these 9 methods to where you see everything completely different and you make everything in your life devotional service as you mature. And when you're completely absorbed in selfless devotional service to the Supreme Lord's plan, not your plan, you're ready. And you're able, you're qualified to return to the spiritual world, back home, back to Godhead, liberated, free from the cycle of karma, birth and death, eternally. So the Vedic literature is showing us and teaching us the simplistic method. The tool that one is to use is the sound vibration contained in the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It is the prescribed vibratory method of cleansing the mind and the heart and the senses such that they are not contaminated from all previous activities and karma. Similarly, the 9 processes of devotional service, which start with hearing and chanting, remembering and worshiping, offering prayers, offering service, surrendering and everything, these methods of service completely establish you above the earning more karma platform. So you're hearing and you're chanting and you're rendering service to the spiritual master, taking instructions there, becoming detached from the material world because you are going to leave. You have to go. That's the whole game. You want to get done with this sometimes happy, sometimes sad place. So the detachment is an important step. Detachment from material activities, attachment to devotional activities. So the spiritual master guides you in making that transition. You don't have to stop your life. You don't have to fall apart. You don't have to drop out. You have to change your understanding. And that's why we all require a spiritual master. And that's why we all become healthy and become normal when we act under the spiritual master's instructions and we engage in the devotional service of the Lord and we taste the nectar of happiness, glorious, eternal happiness full of knowledge in the spiritual world, even in the material world as you get ready to go. All the material sufferings kind of fade away. Let's take the concept that it's like you can't be two places at once. So if you're absorbed in material activities, you can't be on the spiritual platform. And similarly, if you're on the spiritual platform doing devotional activities, you can't be in the material world absorbing, incurring karma. So here is a simplistic explanation of it, but you can see how you can't be two places at once. So you begin to get further and further into the devotional activities, and you get more and more satisfaction from it, more and more enlightenment from it. And your path becomes clearer, and your heart becomes clearer, and the satisfaction derived from spiritual activities far surpasses the satisfaction or enjoyment one gets from material activities. So the path, it gets like wider and wider and brighter as you progress down it. It's not like down the rabbit hole into the darkness of illusion and confusion. It's the opposite of that. And this is what I was saying a moment ago. When you meet the spiritual master and you decide to follow his instructions, that is the path of light. And it only gets brighter and wider. And you get more and more enthusiasm. As opposed to the path of selfishness and entanglement and confusion and anger and lust and greed and envy and all that stuff, and it gets darker and darker. So our society, generally speaking, is in this balanced state of trying not to be too much suffering and not really focusing on too high of an enjoyment. It's in the middle, trying to just keep adjusting. Everybody's trying to keep adjusting. The suffering and the problems, I'm putting out fires fast enough, it's tolerable. Oh, I'm trying to keep the things from going wrong. I'm fixing things the best I can. I'm trying not to do things wrong. Oh my gosh, things are still going wrong. Oh, I don't care anymore. I'm just going to do whatever I want. Oh, that didn't work. That was wrong. All of these different emotions and urges and causing this constant flowing, ebbing and flowing of satisfaction and confusion, of happiness and distress that keep bouncing back and forth. That's what you put an end to when you follow the instructions of the spiritual master and you engage in devotional service to the Lord under his guidance. The sufferings and anxieties cease and you see the path forward and you taste the nectar of the path and you become self-satisfied. And you understand and you're confident and you know the spiritual master has delivered the knowledge to you that you will be successful in this very life to going back home, back to Godhead. That is what the Vedic literature is doing. That is what the spiritual master is here for. The spiritual master, his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he lives in his books. Bhagavad Gita as it is the primary textbook. And if you simply read that book, your life will be ultimately benefited.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.